Zechariah 3, verse 1 to 5. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put fine garments on you." Then I said, "Put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him, while the angel of the Lord stood by.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you this morning. Those of you who are regular at Grace can see I'm not Michael. Michael has a much cooler beard than I do. But my name is Tim. I'm one of the pastors at All Nations, and it is great to be with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, please keep them open to Zechariah chapter 3 as we hear from this somewhat unusual passage together. But before we do, let's pray and ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, you tell us that the preaching of your word is the smell of death to those who are perishing, but it is the smell of life to us who are being saved. So we simply ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, many here this morning might find it the smell of life, some even for the very first time, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the 1800s, there were a series of books written, and these books were called Rags to Riches stories. You might have read some of them, but the basic plot of all of these stories is the same. A boy or a girl is born very poor, and then they grow up to be rich and famous. They're born as an orphan, as an outcast. They're born with absolutely no money to their name, but then they grow up through hard work and a little bit of luck to be rich and powerful and famous. In fact, if you think about it, that's pretty much the story of every single Disney movie ever made. Kids, just think about the story of Cinderella. Cinderella is born as this poor, neglected, forgotten sister. Cinderella is a girl whose life is filled with dirt and rags, until finally Cinderella is loved by Prince Charming, and in the end she becomes a beautiful princess. The whole story of Cinderella is rags to riches. And friends, the passage in front of us today in Zechariah chapter 3 is the greatest rags to riches story ever told. And even better than that, this story is not a fairy tale. Because behind all of the strange symbolism in Zechariah chapter 3 is a true story. A true story of how guilty sinners like us are loved by the King of this universe. A true story of how guilty sinners like us are snatched from the fires of hell that we deserve. A true story of how dirty, guilty, rotten sinners like us are given the most glorious riches that we can imagine. Our passage this morning is a true story of rags to riches. This passage comes in the book of Zechariah. And Zechariah was a prophet after the exile. Some of you may know the history, but the nation of Judah was sent into exile for their sins. They were sent away from the promised land to the country of Babylon. And now, 70 years later, God is bringing his people back to the promised land. That's where the book of Zechariah starts. But even though the people are back in the promised land, things are not going well at all. Judah is still a weak nation. They're living in the ruined city of Jerusalem. The temple is still lying in ruins, and the people feel small and powerless. They're surrounded by these mighty nations and mighty armies, and they're starting to feel a little bit discouraged. In fact, the people in this book feel like some of us might feel this morning. Because sometimes as Christians or even just people living in this world, we feel the pressures building up on us. We see the culture changing out there. We see the conflict and the fights that happen in our churches or our families. We look in the mirror and we see the sin in our own hearts, and we start to feel outnumbered and discouraged. But friends, it's into this kind of setting. It's to discouraged, weak, sometimes outnumbered people like us that God sends the prophet Zechariah. And Zechariah brings these ancient people, he brings us this morning a message of incredible hope. The greatest rags to riches story ever told. So let's try to understand this strange passage in 3 points this morning. First, dirty rags, verses 1 and 3. I don't really know whether they're popular, but back where I come from in America, we have all kinds of courtroom dramas on television. And if you've ever seen one of those courtroom dramas, you know that sooner or later, the guilty person is sitting on the witness stand. And the lawyer, the prosecuting attorney, is questioning them. The tension is building, and the lawyer is getting ready to prove to everyone their guilt. And you know, that's the picture in Zechariah chapter 3. That's the picture in verse 1. If you have your Bibles open, look with me at verse 1 again. Verse 1, then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Like all of those courtroom dramas on television, in verse 1, Zechariah sees a court scene. Only Zechariah here is seeing the heavenly courtroom. And in this heavenly courtroom, Joshua is standing trial. Joshua, the high priest, is on the witness stand, and the tension is building. The drama is building because the lawyer accusing Joshua is Satan. Satan, the great enemy of God's people. Satan, the great adversary, the great accuser of God's people, is bringing charge after charge after charge against Joshua. And what are the charges against Joshua? Well, look at your Bibles. Look at verse 3. The charges are right there in verse 3. Verse 3, now Joshua was standing before the angel clothed with filthy garments. Joshua was standing in the heavenly courtroom of God clothed with dirty rags. Most of you don't know me very well, but I'll tell you a fun fact about myself. Maybe it's not really fun, but here's a fact about myself. I'm not great with fashion. In fact, I don't know anything at all about fashion. I have absolutely no idea what is in or what is out. Maybe some of you are right there with me. And especially when I first got married, sometimes what would happen is I'd put on some clothes and I'd get ready to leave the house. But before I made it out the front door, my wife would see me and she'd kind of have this patient, sympathetic, understanding smile on her face. And she would just say to me, Tim, you're not really going to wear that, are you? Tim, you're not really planning to wear that in public, right? Guys, if you haven't figured this out, let me give you a free hint. If your wife ever says that to you, the best thing you can do is just go and get changed. And at first, we might kind of think that's what's going on in verse 3. At first, we might just imagine Joshua is really bad with fashion. Maybe he just forgot to do his laundry. But you know, the problem here in verse 3 is actually so much bigger than bad fashion. The problem is so much bigger than overdue laundry, because remember who Joshua is. Verse 1 says Joshua is the high priest. And all the way back in Exodus chapter 28, God gave really specific instructions about the high priest's clothing. God gave really specific rules about the clothes that the high priest had to wear. God gave a really strict dress code for the high priest. And basically, God said the priest's clothes had to be completely pure. The priest's clothes had to be completely spotless. The priest's clothes had to be completely clean. And God wasn't concerned about fashion. God wasn't concerned about overdue laundry. God was making a theological point. God was trying to teach us something about our own hearts. Because the priest's spotless robes were meant to show us that we need to be spotless. We need to be pure. We need to be holy. We need to be absolutely perfect in order to stand in the presence of a holy God. But the problem here is Joshua's clothes are not clean. Joshua's clothes are not spotless. Joshua's clothes are filthy garments and dirty rags. Satan's accusations are completely right. Joshua is dressed in dirty rags, so Joshua cannot stand before a holy God. To help us get this, let me kind of adapt a children's story from R.C. Sproul. When I was young, actually I still do, I have three older brothers. I'm the youngest of four boys. And sometimes when we were young, we'd go outside and we'd play in the mud. Do any of you do that, kids? When it's raining, you go outside and you play in the mud? Well, sometimes we went outside, we rolled around, we jumped in the muddy puddles, and we got covered in mud from head to toe. And kids, I don't know about your parents, but when my brothers and I did that, my parents wouldn't even let us in the front door. Well, when we got covered in mud, they'd take us out to the back, they'd hose us off, they'd make us take off all those dirty, muddy clothes before they even let us in the house. My parents wouldn't even let us in the front door with dirty clothes on. Or maybe you can think about going to Buckingham Palace covered in filthy rags. The guards at the front gate of the palace won't even let you in the front door. Because you see, when we're covered with mud, we cannot stand on the clean white carpet in our house. When we're clothed in dirty rags, we can't just walk in to see the King of England. Do you see it? Do you get it? That's what's going on in Zechariah chapter 3. Joshua is completely filthy. In the heavenly courtroom, Satan's accusations are right. Joshua is wearing dirty rags. Joshua's heart is dirty with sin. Joshua is a dirty, muddy mess, and he cannot stand in the presence of the King of Kings. And dear friends, the message we need to get this morning is we have the same problem as Joshua. On our own, we are just as dirty as Joshua. On our own, we are guilty sinners. Look, all of you look like you have nice, clean, ironed shirts on today. But the truth is, under those clean clothes, our hearts are covered with dirty rags. We may look good to everyone else, but left to ourselves, our hearts are a muddy, dirty, sinful mess. Because in our hearts, all of us are guilty of lying. We are guilty of lusting. We are guilty of cheating. We are guilty of getting angry and screaming at the people we love. We are guilty of pride and greed, of worry and of envy. And listen, we are even guilty of doing good things for the wrong reasons. We are guilty of serving other people and then posting about it all over Facebook so everybody can see what a good job we've done. We are guilty of serving other people at church just so everyone applauds us and pats us on the back. We are guilty of sinning in 1,000 different ways, and our hearts are dirty. Dear friends, the bad news for us this morning is that Satan's accusations are right. The bad news for us today is that in the heavenly courtroom, you and I are sinners. On our own, we are dressed in dirty rags. And on our own, we can never dare to approach the King of Kings. And if that's the bad news, what can we do? What can we do with our sin and our guilt and our shame? Is there any way for us to get rid of these dirty, filthy, muddy rags? It's the second part of our passage, our second point today. First, our dirty rags, but second, divine grace. Divine grace. Look at your Bibles again with me and look at verse 2. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand? Is this not a burning stick plucked out of the fire?" You see, Joshua is a sinner. You and I are clothed in dirty rags. But look at verse 2. Look at the beauty of verse 2. The Lord God Almighty throws out the charges against us. And two different times the Lord rebukes Satan. And notice why the Lord rebukes Satan. Verse 2, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. And at first that might seem really strange. The first few times I read that, I wondered what in the world is going on here. I thought we were talking about Joshua and his dirty rags. What does God's choice of Jerusalem have to do with anything? At first, it doesn't make much sense at all. Until we realize God's choice of Jerusalem is a sign of God's grace. God's choice of Jerusalem is a reminder that God chooses the undeserving. You see, God didn't choose Jerusalem because it was a strong and mighty and powerful city. At the time that Zechariah was written, Jerusalem was a ruined, deserted city with a broken down wall. I don't know if you ever read the newspapers. Sometimes they publish the list of the top undesirable suburbs. They publish the list of the suburbs with the highest crime rate or the highest unemployment or however they think the right measure is. And you know, if there was an ancient version of the top undesirable suburbs at the time of Zechariah, Jerusalem might have just made the list. Because even after the exile, most of the Jews stayed in Babylon rather than come back to Jerusalem. Most of the Jews stayed in Babylon. They chose Babylon over Jerusalem. But friends, verse 2 says the Lord chose Jerusalem. God chose this broken, ruined, forgotten city as a sign and a reminder of his grace. God chose broken, ruined, forgotten Jerusalem as a reminder that God does not choose the strong. God does not choose the wise. God does not choose the mighty. God chooses the weak. God chooses the foolish and the undeserving. God shows love and compassion and grace to undeserving, forgotten cities like Jerusalem. And brothers and sisters, God shows love and compassion and grace to undeserving sinners like Joshua and like you and me. That's the message Joshua needed to hear. Joshua, on his own, was a dirty sinner. He was a dirty sinner who was like a burning stick about to be burned up in the fires of God's wrath. But even though the city of Jerusalem didn't deserve it, even though Joshua didn't deserve it, verse 2 reminds us God, in his grace, chose to save them. God, in his grace, chose to snatch this ruined city and this guilty sinner out of the fire. And dear friends, what a message of hope for us this morning. Because the truth is, we are just as dirty as Joshua. We are just as broken as Jerusalem. We are just as undeserving as they were. So what hope do we have? Friends, our only hope is in God's divine grace. You see, the beauty of the gospel is not that God saves people who deserve it. The beauty of the gospel is not that God saves people who earn it. The beauty of the gospel, the hope of Christianity, is that while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. The beauty of the gospel is that God saves us by grace alone. Let me take another illustration from someone else and change it again. Kids, think back to those Disney fairy tales. Think back to the story of Cinderella. In all the fairy tales I know, basically what happens is Prince Charming sees the beautiful princess and he falls in love. And let me ask you, what makes the prince love the princess? In all the fairy tales I know, the prince loves the princess because of how beautiful she is. Prince Charming falls in love with Cinderella because of how pretty she is, how smart she is, how funny and hardworking and kind and lovely she is. Prince Charming looks at Cinderella and he falls in love with her because she is just so lovely. But dear friends, do you know what? When God sees us, God doesn't say, look at how great they are. When God sees us, God doesn't say, look at how clever they are. When God sees us, God doesn't say, look at how good and put together and deserving they are. No, when God sees us, God knows all our worst qualities. God knows our porn and our pride. God knows our greed and our gossip. God knows our self-righteousness. God knows all of those secret sins, all of those secret sins that we've managed to hide from everybody else. God knows them all. But Christians, God says, I love you in spite of all of your sin. I know how sinful you are, but I've chosen to save you anyway. Not because of how great you are, not because you deserve it or you've earned it. Christians, God says, I've chosen to save you simply because of who our God is, simply because of God's amazing grace, simply because God sets his love on us in and through Jesus Christ. Friends, that is so much better than a fairy tale. That's the message of verse 2. That's the beauty of divine grace. We were undeserving sinners heading for the fires of hell, but God saved us simply because of his own love and his own grace. But how is that possible? How can a just God legally dismiss the charges against us? How can God be loving and holy, loving and just at the same time? It's our final point. It's the last part of our passage today. Dirty rags, divine grace, and now finally, dazzling riches. Dazzling riches, verses 4 and 5. You know, sometimes when my clothes get dirty, I try really hard to clean them myself. I try really hard to wash the dirt and the mud and the sweat away. But as my wife can tell you, I'm really bad at it. Sometimes I try to clean my shirt, but I just make it worse. Instead of the dirt disappearing, the dirt somehow manages to spread all over the whole shirt. And you know, so often that's what you and I do with our sin. So often we try to scrub and clean our dirty, sinful hearts by ourselves, but the problem is we only make it worse because we can't wash our hearts clean on our own. But verse 4 says God can wash us clean. Verse 4 says the God who has chosen us in Jesus Christ can wash us clean. Look at your Bibles again and look at verse 4. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from Joshua." And to Joshua he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you. Behold, I have taken your sin away." You see, on our own, we were wearing dirty rags. On our own, we could never stand before a holy God. On our own, we can never wash our sinful hearts clean. But brothers and sisters, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, because God can and does wash us clean in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, God takes away our dirty rags forever. You see, the good news for us today, the good news that we're celebrating on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, the very best news you can ever hear is simply this: in Jesus Christ, God removes our filthy garments. In Jesus Christ, God forgives our sins. God washes our hearts completely clean, and all because of what Jesus Christ has done. You see, Jesus Christ came into this world. Jesus Christ lived a life of perfect obedience to his Father. Jesus Christ is the only person in all of human history who never sinned. He never got the clothes of his heart dirty with sin. Jesus Christ is the only one wearing perfect, spotless, righteous robes of his own obedience. But Christians, the wonder and glory and comfort of the gospel is that at the cross on Good Friday, Jesus Christ wore our dirty rags. Jesus Christ had no sin of his own. But at the cross, God took the dirty rags of our sin off of us, and God put them on Jesus Christ, his Son. And then as Jesus Christ died, God judged Jesus for our sin. God made Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Jesus Christ our dirty rags would be removed forever and our iniquity would be fully paid for. And Christians, now in the heavenly courtroom, God the judge bangs his gavel and he says, "Not guilty." God the judge bangs his gavel and he says, "Believer in Jesus Christ, you are not guilty. Believer in Jesus Christ, I have taken your iniquity away from you because Jesus Christ has worn your dirty rags and Jesus Christ has paid for all of your sins." Some of you may know the name Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a German monk who lived about 500 years ago. And like many of us, Luther was a man who really struggled with the guilt of his sin. He was a man who knew very well he was wearing dirty rags before a holy judge. And Luther tried everything he could think of to get rid of his guilt. But no matter how hard he tried, no matter how much he worked, he didn't have any peace. He knew none of his efforts could make him right with a holy God. Until finally, Luther discovered the wonder of God's divine grace. Luther discovered the glory of the promise of verse 4. He discovered the forgiveness that is in Jesus Christ. But you know, like so many of us, even after he became a Christian, Luther still struggled with guilt. Even after he became a Christian, he still felt the accusations of Satan. And when Satan listed all of Luther's sins, the guilt of it began to weigh him down. The guilt of it nearly crushed him. But do you know what Luther did? Do you know what he said? Luther said, "Satan, it's all true. I'm guilty of all the things you're listing and even more." But then he said, "You can write this at the bottom of your list. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins." Dear friends, that is the message of verse 4. That is the dazzling riches that Jesus Christ gives to everyone who believes. Look, some days we look back at our lives. Some days we just look back at the past 8 hours of our lives, and the guilt of our sin comes crushing down on us. But brothers and sisters, if that is you this morning, then you can say with Martin Luther, "It is all true. It's all true. I am a guilty sinner. I am guilty of lying. I am guilty of anger. I am guilty of substance abuse. I am guilty of so many things besides, but I trust in Jesus Christ, and he has taken away the guilt of my sin forever. I trust in Jesus Christ, and he has worn my dirty rags at the cross. I trust in Jesus Christ, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all my sin." Brothers and sisters, that's the dazzling riches of divine grace. But as amazing as that is, there's still just a little more to this story. Look back at your Bibles and look at verse 4 again. "Behold, I've taken your iniquity away from you," and then look at this, "and I will clothe you with pure garments." Verse 5, "And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him in garments." That is rags to riches. Now Joshua isn't wearing these dirty clothes anymore. Now Joshua is actually wearing these beautiful, spotless garments from head to toe. And the picture here is of the high priest decked out in all of his glory. The picture here is of a beautiful bride radiant on her wedding day. The picture here is of these dazzling riches that Jesus Christ gives us. Maybe you can think about Cinderella just one more time. Because when Cinderella goes to the ball, she doesn't just take off her dirty rags. She doesn't just throw her old ratty clothes in the trash and then go to the ball. No, she takes off her dirty rags, and then she actually puts on a beautiful new dress in their place. She puts on a beautiful new robe, and she goes to the ball decked out in this gorgeous clothing. And friends, the same thing is true for every believer in Jesus Christ. Because we don't just need our sins paid for. We don't just need our dirty rags thrown out. We actually need new clothes in their place. We need positive righteousness in their place. We need perfect obedience to God's law. We need spotless, royal, righteous robes to stand before holy God. And that's what Jesus Christ gives to us. Jesus Christ has taken away our dirty rags, but Jesus has not left us naked. Jesus has clothed us in his perfect righteousness. Jesus has clothed us in his life of perfect obedience. You see, God takes off our sins and he puts them on Jesus Christ, and then God takes Jesus's life of perfect obedience, and God credits it to our account. So believers in Jesus Christ, now when we stand before God, we are as righteous as Jesus Christ himself, because we are covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our dirty rags are gone forever, and because of God's divine grace, we are covered in these spotless robes, these dazzling riches that Jesus gives. About 80 years ago now, the pastor Martin Lloyd-Jones preached a sermon on these new robes that Jesus gives us. And after the worship service was over, one woman in the congregation stopped at the door and spoke to Martin Lloyd-Jones. And after she was done speaking to him, as she was starting to walk away, she kind of shyly turned around and she said to the pastor, she said, "Pastor, I'm so glad I have those spotless robes that you were talking about. I'm so glad that I'm covered in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ." And then she went home. And that very night, she died. She died when the Nazis dropped a bomb on her house, but she died dressed in the dazzling riches of Jesus Christ. And friends, I don't know all of you here this morning, but I suspect there are at least a few of you here today who are not Christians. I suspect there are at least a few of you here today who are still trying to cover yourselves in fig leaves and in dirty rags. But dear friends, when you stand in the heavenly courtroom of God, that will never work. When you stand in the heavenly courtroom of God, dressed in your own dirty rags, there is only one judgment that you deserve, and that is guilty. But dear friends, if you come in faith to Jesus Christ, if you plead not your own works, but the perfect work of Jesus Christ, then God promises he will forgive all of your sins, all of your sins. And God promises he will clothe you in the spotless robes of Jesus Christ the Savior. So friends, what are you waiting for? Come to Jesus Christ today, put your trust in him, and receive the dazzling riches that he alone can give. Because it's not just a fairy tale. It's a true story that gives us hope and confidence for this life and the next. It's the true story that will change eternal destinies forever. It's the true story that we're celebrating this Easter week. It's the true, the glorious, the life-changing story that in Jesus Christ, God changes our dirty rags into dazzling riches. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your great love for sinners like us. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our perfect Savior. And thank you for your Holy Spirit who brings these truths home to our hearts. And now we simply ask that by the power of your Spirit that you would stamp these truths on our hearts, that we may go from here rejoicing in all that you have done and eager to share this good news with those around us. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.